Hi, I'm Nathan Scott, and joining me in the studio this morning are two guests, Dr. Sharon Stowers from Harford Community College. She's the first scholar in residence ever from the college, as well as a professor of anthropology and sociology, in addition to being a dietitian nutritionist. I'm also speaking with Jason Gallion, an agricultural specialist from Harford County Government. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
So the reason we have you in is that despite the bout of winter weather that we just finished dealing with, anyone who is into farming or agriculture knows that now that we're getting towards the end of February, beginning of March, it's time to start getting ready to, you know, get the plants out in the field, get them plowed, get them ready to go. And there's a symposium coming up called Food Farmers and Community Opening the Dialogue that talks a little about the advantages of supporting local farms and other agricultural related topics. Sharon, can you tell me a little bit about the symposium, when it happens and what it's trying to accomplish?
Yes, Nathan. This is a very important opportunity for our community in Harford County. The symposium is intended to bring farmers in the community together to discuss important issues that are facing our farmers today. Our farmers specifically wanted the community in Harford County to know what they do. Farmers are very hard workers and they're very good at doing what they do, but they're not people that are self-promoting. And so we often don't hear how difficult it is, and especially in today's economic climate, to be a farmer. So the symposium is bringing together the community. Anybody who eats is welcome. And our farmers to talk about these various issues. For example, we have a session called The Real Cost of Cheap Food. And that is to let the public know that how the details of farming and how expensive it is to actually produce the produce that they have, or how complicated it is to have be certified as organic, for example.
Now, this is something that affects Maryland very directly, because if you go out into the Midwest and you have a lot of these sort of larger, more industrial size farms, but a lot of the farms in the rural parts of Maryland are those smaller local farms that, while they distribute to other states, they tend to keep a lot of the produce within the state lines. Can you tell me what the difference is in terms of operations between an industrial farm and a smaller local establishment?
We have a mix of those in Harford County, and I'm going
to
field that to Jason because he's our agricultural specialist.
Sure, we have a mixture of farms in the county and in the state, actually. So a lot of farms, if you think of the bigger scale, they're more effective. They're doing grain of prices that come out of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So I use this as an example. A lot of people, you know, look at the stock market and think of New York, but for agricultural products, really the stock market is out of Chicago. So local farms here are affected heavily by, you know, crop production in the Midwest, you know, weather and stuff out there. So that is part, but we do have a lot of, you know, smaller farms in the county, you know, family farms that, you know, produce a bunch of things from produce to, you know, we have some dairy farms. In Harford County, we have, you know, beef, grain, just a wide variety of ag businesses in the county.
So what is the value, in your estimation, of buying locally as opposed to buying from the more, you know, either buying locally from the industrial size farms or from smaller farmers markets?
Well, I'd like to mention that the symposium actually is on coming up soon on March 16th at 8:30 to 1:30 at Harford Community College. And it's connected to your question in that we have a whole session on the importance of buying local. And today, our farmers, especially the small farmers, they really need to have value added to their products in terms of having people come directly to the farm to buy their produce. They're also doing a number of other things to increase their income as well, since they're a small farm. For example, many are selling ice cream from their farm if they have a dairy farm. We have people having weddings in their barns up in Harford County. That's another form of agrotourism to bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have wineries and we have breweries. So you can go to tastings on those farms. So all these ways are in which people can buy local in Harford County, and we want to really give them the opportunity to do so.
So, Sharon, can you tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into the, you know, agritourism promotion side of things? But your background in being in anthropology and sociology, I can sort of see how one would lead to the other, but how specifically did you to get to this role?
Well, my expertise is in nutritional anthropology, actually, mm-hmm. and one of the things that the Scholar in Residence program is making happen is to bring faculty's expertise into the community. Mm-hmm. And this is a really unique situation for a community college to have such a position as Scholar in Residence. And so the idea is to tap the brain power of our faculty to do applied research into the community. And since I've had a lot of experience with food in my professional life, mm-hmm. I wanted to bring that to Harford County and see where I could help and gather research data and do programming to bring to our members of Harford County.
So what are some of the things about the Scholar in Residence program that you can only do through that program, and how are you using those opportunities to impact the community?
Well, otherwise I would be teaching a full course load. So one, it gives me time,
okay,
which is really wonderful. Another thing is that it helps me collaborate with other agricultural organizations in the mm-hmm. county. And so I've gotten to meet Jason and a lot of other people, and we formed an agricultural work group mm-hmm. where people who are members of the group from all walks of life have come and worked together to bring to our farmers the things that they may need, such as programming, legislative ideas, all kinds of initiatives that we mm-hmm. hope will help the farmers.
So, Jason, how did you come to be a part of the work group? And, you know, not just the work group, what was your background with agriculture before going into this project?
Sure. So I started out actually as a teenager working on my uncle's dairy farm, and that was my first experience with that. But even earlier than that, my father and I, we always would raise a few calves, and I kind of got started in that way, actually, even before the dairy farming. But I actually am a graduate of Harford Community College, and mm-hmm. after that, I started my own ag business, which started off dairy farming. I did that for 5 years. Then I actually was into produce farming for a couple of years, and then I switched to what I still do now, which I have beef cows and do a lot of hay sales to the horse community. So
mm-hmm.
That was my background before 3 years ago coming on as the agricultural specialist for Harford County government. So I still have a farm business, but I also do the agricultural specialist job with Harford County. With that, one of our main jobs is to promote buy local initiatives. So we have three farmers markets in the county, Bel Air, Aberdeen, and Havre de Grace, but we also have a bunch of farm stands, individual ones that are also in the county. So we try to promote and get people to buy local as much as possible to support those local farmers. And we found that a lot of people, and I know this from experience working at a produce stand, mm-hmm. they like to know the farmer. They like to know where their food's coming from. And you get a direct connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, they'll come to you and say, hey, you don't have this particular thing, like eggplant or whatever, as an example. And then they give that feedback, and a lot of farmers will listen to that and maybe grow something a little different that fills a need.
So it allows them to be more responsive to the community that they're a part of.
Exactly, yep.
So one other question that I'd like to ask. You mentioned that when you were younger that you've basically done this since you were a kid up until now, albeit with various products, but all within the field of agriculture. How important is it, in your estimation, for young people to be involved in farming or to see it as a viable career option?
It's very important, because I think too often folks go to the grocery store and say, and you ask them, they say, well, where's our food come from? They say the grocery store. Well, there's a long story that,
right,
as Dr. Stowers mentioned, that we need to do a better job of telling as farmers how it gets to your table. So that's a very important, a good question. But actually, I'm also, I'm a, started in January, I'm a state senator for District 35, and we have a bill we had a hearing on last week that's to promote agriculture education throughout the whole state. So it is important to get that out there and have those opportunities. I know North Hartford High School in our county, they have an outstanding ag magnet program, and a lot of the folks that apply to that don't come from farm backgrounds, but they're interested in it, and that gives them an opportunity to learn and maybe to one day have a future in agriculture. And agriculture is a lot of things. It's not just the farming. I mean, there's selling ag products. There's it takes in a whole gamut of opportunities there.
Right. I mean, I have a friend who lives in the Midwest whose job is driving around to different farms and repairing equipment. So no matter what your skill is, you can be involved in some way. If you're just tuning in, my name is Nathan Scott. I'm speaking with two guests this morning about agriculture in Harford County specifically, but also just in the entire state of Maryland. It's Dr. Sharon Stowers of Harford Community College, their first scholar in residence, as well as Jason Gallion, the agriculture specialist for the Harford County government. So, Sharon, moving back to the symposium for a moment, one of the things that will be happening at the symposium is that a GIS map will be debuting. I used to work on a farm, but I am embarrassed to admit I don't know what a GIS map is. Could you maybe explain to me, as well as the listeners, what that stands for and what it does?
Well, this is a great opportunity for farmers and our community to participate in the farm-to-table movement. What the map is, and I'd like to refer back to Jason's mention of North Hartford High School. We got together, North Hartford High School students, with the county government to develop this map in which farmers apply to be on it. And there's an icon that appears on the map, so you can go to your computer, look up the map of Hartford County, and you'll see an icon of a bee or a dairy cow, and you press on it, and you'll see all those farms near you that are selling those products that you can buy directly from. So it's a wonderful way to get the farmers in the community together. So this is going to be launched at our symposium, which is on March 16th from 8:30 to 1:30 at Harford Community College. The registration is only $10, and you get a locally sourced breakfast and lunch, so that's a really good bargain. And you can see the GIS map and how to operate it, among other things that are going to be happening that day.
So what are some of the other things that are going to be happening that day? I would imagine, you know, it's a very broad topic. What are some of the various things that people can find out about?
Well, in addition to the one I mentioned about the economics of farming, we have a session on the value of agricultural land preservation in Harford County. And that is a very important topic for our county. We are a national leader in preserving our agricultural land. We also have another breakout session that has to do with buying local and the health of the soil as important to the Bay, for example, because we're situated right at the top of Maryland with the Susquehanna River and the Bay. So those are wonderful resources that are available. We will be having the Maryland Agricultural Education Foundation's showcase trailer on site, and that is a whole another amazing way to learn about agriculture. People can visit the trailer and learn more about agriculture in the state of Maryland in general. So these are just a few more things that we have going on.
You mentioned earlier that anybody who eats can attend, which would be, well, everybody. Is there a specific type of person that you're looking to reach more than others? For example, farmers who go may already be aware of a lot of the information. They may not be. Are there different programs geared for different sorts of attendees?
We really are making it so everyone can understand what the information is. So we've asked our speakers to not be as technical as they are informative. And so anybody can come. We have high school students that'll be there, and we have grandmothers. So we have many of our master gardeners who have supported this initiative so much. They'll be there. So an array of people that are in dialogue with each other is our goal.
And building that sense of community is really what's most important to creating the network of local farmers, whether that be small size, industrial size. You talked a little bit about agricultural land preservation, which is, you know, an issue I don't think a lot of people know about. Can you tell me what's at stake if the agricultural land does not remain in its current form?
Well, there are many, many issues that come up with this, and people don't understand how important preserving the soil and the land is. So I'm going to let Jason talk to you a little more
about
that.
So one thing, if a farmer has a tractor breakdown, they can go buy another tractor. They make more tractors. They make all kinds of stuff. One thing that doesn't get made more of is land. So once the land's gone from agriculture, you can't get it back. So it's been an important initiative in Harford County to preserve farmland. Kind of the process in part, somebody would apply, and then there's a rating of, they take soil samples and see which is the best ground. And there's also was a bonus area offered up for folks that are in areas that have heavy development pressure near the development envelope. So the whole idea is to it's basically selling off development rights and saying you won't build in that ground. That way, in the future, that'll be farmable ground, for generations to come. But actually, Bill Amos, who will be leading that topic, he's the expert on that. And if a farmer's interested in that, they contact him, and he can give them different resources, whether it be, there's different programs. There's a state program. There's a county program. And he can give them all the information which program could possibly work best for them.
And one other thing that people don't really think about a lot, you mentioned earlier the fact that, you have to educate people that when you go into a grocery store and you pick a pepper or an apple or what have you out of the produce department, that's not the first place it's ever existed. There's been a long chain of steps to get from the farm to that point. And so when you talk about agricultural land preservation, I think a lot of people would assume that, well, if you build a house there and you need the land later on, then, assuming there's nobody in it, you can knock down the house or just move it. But one thing I do remember from having worked on a farm is that in order to get the soil to where it needs to be to support healthy crops and to do that on a yearly basis, you not only have to rotate crops, but some years you have to not use it. It takes a long period of time in order to get it to a place where it can support the farms that are, supporting their communities and farmers markets as a result.
Right. And farmers are good with, conserving with their nutrients. It's like any business. Dr. Stowers mentioned earlier about, protecting the bay. I think farmers really were the first environmentalists. And now they're not going to want to just put on a bunch of excess nutrients just to be doing it. They're looking at the bottom line. They're not going to put in a bunch of extra stuff. They want to just use what's needed for that crop. Farmers have been doing great with a cover crop program where they plant a crop in the fall that keeps down erosion and keeps nutrients there, so they'll have to use. So I think the ag community is doing a better job all the time and needs to continue of tooting their own horns, so to speak, on these kind of things. But then you have a year like last year where it was 70 some inches of rain, which is really unusual. So they, not only did they deal with low prices, they had to deal with usually wet year. So there's always obstacles, but with the farming community, a lot of folks, it's not just a job, it's not just your regular business, it's really a lifestyle. Folks like to raise their family on the farm with room. It's kind of something a little different than a normal business, but it's kind of a way of life, not just a business.
So, speaking about it being a way of life, and this question is for both of you. If someone is thinking about getting into the farming industry, whether that means they have a hobby farm, a large farm, what have you, what are some of the obstacles that they can expect to run into, and why should they do it anyway?
Well, one obstacle with any business is access to capital. So if prices are suppressed, the banks will be probably less likely to loan folks money. But there are programs for new farmers. In the state, there's MarBidco that has a what they call a next-gen farm acquisition program, which helps a new farmer buy farmland. Say if you're a new farmer starting out and you'd like to buy some ground, you have to find a spot that still has development rights. You could basically sign up early for a preservation program and help pay a portion of your farm getting started. So that's a great program for new farmers. That's just one example. I know mm-hmm. USDA has some new farmer stuff and different programs out there provide like low interest loans and stuff. So I think access to capital a lot of times is the biggest mm-hmm. challenge for a new person starting up. But there are some options that kind of help with that.
And there are amazing new techniques. Farmers are learning all the time. They are adapting. We have farmers in Harford County. They're doing what we call permaculture, mm-hmm. which is trying to have an integrated system of farming where they need less equipment, less land, and they can sell directly to restaurants or consumers. And this means that they're growing things like microgreens and all kinds of organic style food. And they really can do this on as little as 2 acres of land. So mm-hmm. we're really also working with those farmers, and they're learning every day and adapting, as well as our large farms. Farmers today have to know a lot about computers and all kinds of technical things that I think the public doesn't realize. They are really, really smart people. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to learn more about what they do at the symposium.
Which, speaking of the symposium, brings us back around to the fact that it will be coming up. It's on March 10th, if I remember correctly.
March 16th.
March 16th.
Saturday, March 16th.
I'm glad I asked. Saturday, March 16th is when the symposium will be taking place. And, you know, this is the first year that it's happening.
Yes.
What is your hope that people will come away from the symposium with this year? And would you like to see it continue into the future?
Absolutely. We're hoping to make our community members food advocates for people in our community to buy more local and to spread the word to their neighbors about what they learned at the symposium. Mm-hmm. And people can get tickets for the symposium by going to harford.edu/gather.
Okay.
And it's only $10, as I mentioned, and to come out and have a wonderful morning with us.
Jason, you'll be participating in the symposium. What are some of the sorts of questions that you hope you get asked, or that what sort of information do you hope people walk away with?
The main thing I hope folks that don't have the ag background walk away with is mm-hmm. They'll have a newfound respect, I think, for what the farming community does as far as the amount of work that's put in to produce a product. They'll learn. And you know, one thing with accounting we do, there's a senior coupon program that we help. We work with the department or the Office on Aging on that.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically it allows these low-income seniors, they can use these coupons and go buy direct from these farmers. But it has to be fresh fruit, vegetables, cut herbs, and honey. So different little things like that. But I really hope people get a new understanding, a new appreciation for the farmers, the amount of work they put in, and how farmers are really doing a good job with, you know, protecting the bay, and they're really, you know, working to, you know, for a good future for everybody. And it's a tough business, but I think it'd be good for people to see that don't know much about it, and they can learn and dispel some, you know, some conclusions they might have had going into it about things. So hopefully it'll just be a good way to bring the community together with the regular community together with the farming community,
mm-hmm.
and allow them to learn what all goes into this in the farming business.
All right. Sharon, one more time, if people would like to get in contact with you, find out more about the symposium, when it is, how much it costs, what's the best way to get that information?
They would go to harford.edu/gather, mm-hmm. and all the information will be there for you to register, and more about the symposium as well.
All right. Sharon, Jason, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nathan.
My guests have been Dr. Sharon Stowers, the first scholar in residence of Harford Community College, as well as Jason Gallion, the agriculture specialist for the Harford County government. The symposium, Food, Farmers, and Community, Opening the Dialogue, takes place on March 16th. That's a Saturday from 8:30 in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. If you'd like to get more info, you can visit harford.edu/gather. I'm Nathan Scott. We'll be right back after this.